The Weighing Machine was created to help you, the financial advisor or investor, reach your long-term financial goals. Each episode, your hosts, Rusty Vanneman and I, Robin Murray, cut through the market clamor to find the time-tested principles that help investors succeed.
The Weighing Machine is inspired by the classic investing truism attributed to Benjamin Graham. The stock market is a voting machine in the short run and a weighing machine over the long term. In other words, emotion drives short-term market movement, but fundamentals and valuations drive returns over time.
Welcome to The Weighing Machine.
Enjoy, and as always, let us know what you think.
On the podcast today, will value investing ever come back? Or are traditional market cycles being upended in a new world order? And answers to your most common questions.
We will also get a sneak peek on some changes in risk definitions at Orion Portfolio Solutions. Plus, our special guest is Case Eichenberger, Senior Client Portfolio Manager at CLS Investments. Welcome to The Weighing Machine. I'm Rusty Vanneman.
And I'm Robin Murray. Okay, let's start with a look at the markets. The trend upward does continue. The S&P reached its highest level in 3 months this week. What are we watching for now?
The month of May has been another incredible month. We've had a strong absolute return. Investors have now gained over $8 trillion off the market lows a few months back. Market's up 40% off its lows. We're in a new bull market. We just had the fastest correction earlier this year, the fastest bear market. It was also the shortest bear market because we had the quickest rally. Everything is moving at hyperspeed. I think the oil market just had its best month ever, up nearly 90%. So obviously, momentum is positive going into the summer. As for what we're watching for, I mean, there's a lot of things to be looking out for. I mean, obviously, the COVID-19 data is very important. Right now, the slope of the growth is moving lower. That's a big plus. But as the economy reopens, what is that going to mean to the COVID-19 data? We would expect it would get worse, but how much worse will it get? In terms of economic data, everything is improving. It's coming off such low numbers. It almost has to improve. I think, in fact, initial claims for unemployment, kind of an interesting stat about it is, first of all, they're still terrible. A lot of people are still filing for unemployment, but the numbers have improved for the 8th consecutive week. That has never happened in that data series. And it's just a function of math, really, because it was so bad a couple months ago. I think things to watch for, there's just humongous positives for the market. And I think the Federal Reserve has been providing incredible support, unprecedented. The fiscal support is also unprecedented. Europe and Japan is also kind of joining it. I shouldn't say unprecedented. We last saw it in World War II in terms of the size of all the packages out there. Those are just big positives. We may have to pay for it down the road, but for right now, I think most of the evidence supports more market gains.
Well, let's introduce our guest, Case Eichenberger, Senior Client Portfolio Manager at CLS Investments. Hey, Case, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here again.
So, Case, there is, as Rusty mentioned, still a lot of concerning news out there. Jobless claims continue to climb. They've reached just extraordinary numbers. 40 million people currently unemployed. And those numbers are likely underestimates. There was a recent report that showed, that estimated at least, some 40% of job losses may not return. GDP earnings continue to look bleak. So, with all of that in mind, it's a good reminder for investors that they should not be basing their long-term investment plans on current news. This is something that you wrote about in your latest Weekly 3. What was your message there?
Yeah, exactly. So again, stock market does not equal the economy. It moves, you know, much faster than that, as we know. And really, as we're all almost, locked indoors, if you will, or at least trying to stay indoors as much as possible, so social distance, we're really seeing and paying attention to more of the headlines, it seems like. So these drastic headlines are coming out a lot more. And a lot of folks may like to use that or try to use that as their investment thesis. You know, we want to take money out of the market now because the headlines are bad, or we want to put money in the market now because it's getting better. But timing the market, as we know, is nearly impossible. I would probably say it's almost impossible, basically. And we just should not use headlines to dictate when you should invest. Really, as we know, the stock market is always forward-looking. Recovery typically involves many episodes of gains and losses throughout that timeline. So there's going to be some really good up days and maybe a bad down days. So you just can't day trade it like a lot of people try to do, unfortunately. And you get that upward trend, which we have been in here recently, like Rusty's mentioned, since the bottom right now. And really, if you do try to use the headlines and you do miss those big up days, we notice again that just missing those big up days, those large gain days will really wreak havoc on your long-term retirement portfolio. So try to, you know, find something else to do, not use the headlines to invest.
So you also wrote about, you went through a few common questions that we've been receiving from investors lately. Let's run through them here. The first is the stock market overvalued, even with the large pullback and the very quick rise?
Yeah, this was a good one. And it's been coming up a lot because, you know, we've had a quick drop in share prices, and we know earnings are also dropping as well. And then a quick recovery in share prices, but earnings are still coming in not so great. So you almost come back to being an overvalued story. But I think that just comes down to that one major market that a lot of folks like to follow, maybe just your cap weighted S&P 500, or even worse, you start to just look at those high tech, high flying growth stocks, which tend to be overvalued. But there are a lot of undervalued areas of the market that we like to talk about here as Broader Orion, mainly small cap stocks, international stocks, emerging market stocks. And specifically, we really like to look at right now value stocks, some of those stocks that always trade less than growth, but right now they are much cheaper than the rest of the market.
Another question was, what biases should investors be on the lookout for during this period?
Yeah, I think this was interesting. This has come up a few times, maybe not so much in a straightforward question, but nonetheless, again, it just comes down to we have a lot of time on our hands right now, and we kind of get fixated on, you know, a small purchase here or there in a portfolio, or maybe I just like to look at what commodities is doing in my portfolio at a small percentage weight and just overly exaggerate how much I should not be in that. So that's called narrow framing, basically, where investors fixate on one small piece of it and you just overlook the large piece of the portfolio picture. So commodities, alternatives, a great example there. They have a place in a portfolio. Just don't, you know, look at them by themselves. Look at what they do for the portfolio. Hindsight bias, always important. We always look at past events and believe that they're entirely predictable. It's never the case, especially right now. We're looking at that in the markets. We're looking at that in our health organizations. What could we have done better if we would have done this or that or the other? But hindsight bias ultimately makes you abandoning your diversified portfolios and trying to correct what has already happened. We know that's a mistake as well. Then one that I like to talk about and try to coach investors are is just idle hands. You know, we have almost too much time on our hands these days. If you're locked inside or you can't go in many places, you really don't have that outlet to take your mind off of everyday life, like sports, or if you're more of a gambler, like to casually gamble, casinos, those are closed. And right now we notice that there's a lot of people looking to open day trading accounts. You can look at Schwab, E-Trade, those bigger brokerage firms, they've had a spike in new accounts. And I think we just need to try to not do that. Don't be day trading. Try to find some other outlet for your time.
Right. Final question. Should investors abandon their income focused strategies or their value strategies because they haven't been working lately?
Yeah, this is a big one. We look at this day to day, and I know investors typically don't, but we have, I talk to a fair number of investors that like income focused strategies. They like their dividends, you know, they higher interest payers. You know, they need that to really supplement their income, maybe if they're retired. But that only works so long until you start to really get FOMO, fear of missing out on what's going on the other side of the spectrum of the market. And if we just look at the past year, growth stocks have outpaced value stocks by about 25%. They've also outpaced high dividend payers by about 30%. That is just in 1 year annualized number. You can even look at other ways to slice it, not necessarily dividend payers, but those well-standing companies that have increased their dividends for maybe 15, 20 years, just those great companies, they've underperformed growth stocks by about 20%. So I think you can only take so much and then you start to look at it again. But the answer is always no. You want to stay invested to your philosophy of, you know, of why you set this account up in the first place. And we know investing goes in cycles. So eventually, you know, one comes in vogue, one goes out of vogue. So we just need to stay disciplined as much as we can.
Right. Well, let's dive into that a little deeper, specifically value investing. So we believe in value investing here at Orion and at CLS. And it's not just us. There are many notable examples of investors who have achieved great success through value investing. Warren Buffett, of course, is one. And he's very influential here in Omaha. We've certainly been impacted by his thinking. But value investing is on a losing streak that just won't snap. It looked like it would when the market pulled back in March, but then it reverted back to growth-dominated market. We have seen so many huge changes this year, and really in recent years. There have been significant societal changes, and we're living through a technological revolution that may be sharply accelerated as a result of the pandemic. So, Rusty, let me turn this to you. Is there an argument to be made that this period is will cause such societal transformation that old rules will simply no longer apply, including the cycles that have ruled the markets for so long?
Oh, goodness, what a juicy question. And as you know, we have written about this a lot, and so has Case. And by the way, speaking of Case, I mean, he's basically the advisor's advisor. I mean, he's talking every day to many advisors and their clients and kind of walking through a lot of these issues. And he's really just money in those conversations. So, but when it comes to this question about value investing, which again, Case has written about and talked about, and so have I, it's a good question and it's a fair question. And there's a lot of reasons why you could say value investing is broken or dead. And of course, we'll ultimately disagree with it. But first of all, I do feel as if value investing, well, first of all, value investing is definitely in its longest period of underperformance versus growth stocks, according to most studies. I've seen another study that suggests it could go a little longer, but for most studies, this is the longest period of underperformance, and it's definitely the deepest period of underperformance in terms of just relative performance. And so, as you said, it's like, is it ever going to turn around? But you know, one thing that's been really interesting, in my perspective as a value-oriented investor, it really has not been hard to be a value-oriented investor until somewhat recently. I kept talking about how in the late 90s, if you were a value investor, it was beyond awful. I mean, the performance differentials were big, but you really look like a fool for being a value investor. And I would say even 10 years ago, to some extent, is that if you had a value orientation, you looked a little silly as well, and you could take a bit of heat. I think as a value-oriented investor, you didn't take any heat, probably because value stocks were actually still generating attractive returns, still doing well. It was the glamour stocks that were really taking off. I think now the environment is like where you look a little foolish for being a value-oriented investor. Now, why are some of the reasons why, as you mentioned, could value investing be broken? And probably one of the more compelling reasons is that the Federal Reserve has really supplied so much support to the markets, whether it's through all the money they've pumped in, whether it's all the symbolic gestures they've made. The fact they've kept interest rates so low, they're back at zero right now. And there's that expression, just don't fight the Fed, is incredibly powerful. And that just sort of swamps all their factors, including fundamental analysis. And again, when I say fundamental analysis, when you actually analyze companies and compare and contrast their business models and how they make money, that just isn't as important as it normally is. Also, the value investing has gotten to a point where, kind of in the old days, if value investing was you bought these companies that were in the news and they were obviously having problems. So if you stepped up and bought them, not a lot of other people were buying them. It was just really difficult. What's happened is value investing has now come in much more attractive packages. You know, you can basically buy them in an ETF or something where you can basically show academic papers, and it's just been a much easier sell. So a lot more people are doing it. Another thing is a lot more people are committed to it. And kind of one of the premises why value investing works is something we talk about a lot, is the whole concept of Mr. Market, is that the markets are really emotional. They have considerably more volatility than the underlying fundamentals. That gives the opportunity, but if a lot more people are committed to value investing, you don't really get some of these emotional swings in the market. There's a bunch of other reasons. I mean, another reason is that it's been low growth, low inflation. Generally speaking, value stocks do better when inflation is above average and when growth is above average. So there, you could say there are reasons for it. Also, you could also say technology and all the innovation that's going on. Now, let's counter some of these things that. So first of all, there have been other periods of great technological breakthroughs, and in the end, value investing has always won. That is one big thing. Inflation is also cyclical, and inflation will surely come back. I mean, right now, inflation officially is low, but inflation expectations looking forward are starting to skyrocket higher. Doesn't mean we're going to get inflation, but it probably means the chances are we probably will, and it would make sense because we have supply disruptions, federal deficits that have more than doubled, all kinds of things. And if we get an inflationary uptick, it's just the math, too, the way we'll get some economic acceleration. So those are two potential catalysts, never mind the fact that the relative valuations are already there and is just really prone to snap back. And I could go on. Case, what would you add to that? I mean, you're talking about value investing all the time.
No, I mean, those are all really the ideas. I mean, I think what you came to at the end there is this has all happened before, right? I mean, there's always been reasons why it hasn't worked, and then boom, it does work again. And you know, that I think that's always important. It's just you get overzealous about you really start to believe that these growth companies can just grow to the skies with their share prices. And at the end of the day, they can't. And then you see some sort of sentiment shift towards value, and you start to get people, you know, pile back into that trade. And I think we might start to see the early parts of it. Last 7 or 8 days, value has really picked up over growth. You know, typically value does better coming out of recession, which we know we're going to be in. Typically value does better when it's, you know, really as stretched as it has been against growth. So right now, really, it's not the time to be abandoning value. I think there's definitely more risk if you want to just be a growth investor right now, because there's not, may not be the returns there that you're used to. So value is probably your least risky bet at this point. That's all I would add.
Right. Interesting stuff. Well, let's switch gears here. There's one more thing I want to ask you about, Rusty. And there have been some interesting changes at Orion in terms of how we define risk. Can you run through those changes for us?
Well, this is a little bit of a sneak peek, because a lot of this stuff is not going to be officially implemented for another few weeks here, at least the time of this recording. And in short, kind of the backstory to this is that at Orion, we basically were a combination of different firms, and then we basically came together as one Orion late last year. So the great examples are Orion Technology, CLS Investments, FTJ, the strategist out of Cincinnati, Advisor, the financial planning software. We all came together, and all of us work with investors, and all of us also define risk in different ways. Sometimes they're just labels. Sometimes it might just be the way we score risk for investors. Some ways it might be the way we score risk for investments. And basically, we're just bringing them all together. And so I'm not sure how exciting and innovative it is, in the sense that, are we just changing the whole world? No, we're not really changing the whole world in this. Basically, we're just having a common language that we're creating. So the way we define risk in a certain way for a certain investment, we're all just going to have a consistent way of talking about it. And I think that's actually a big plus, not only for within our own firm, but also, of course, for all the advisors we work with. And for Orion Portfolio Solutions, kind of the big thing about it is it's not a change in philosophy. It's just really an enhancement of the process, particularly in terms of the scoring of investors and investments. I mean, our philosophy has always been in diversification. Just like when we talk to portfolio managers at CLS, we're always talking about diversification. Probably the one thing that OPS even puts more emphasis on, and we talk about it, have talked about it at CLS, is you also diversify not just by asset class, but you do diversify by strategy. And that philosophy is not changing. And basically, there are strategies that do well in different environments. First of all, there are strategies that are designed to capture the movement of the markets. So you just want the markets, because the markets go up over time. So you want that exposure. But there are also times when the markets are choppy, they're volatile, and through that volatility, there's opportunities. So you also want strategies that can adjust and adapt to those changing market conditions through the active management. And then, of course, depending on an investor's risk level, and there has to be some appropriate level to diversifying strategies, whether it's fixed income or alternatives. That philosophy is not changing. So anyway, there'll be more ahead for those who are clients of Orion Portfolio Solutions. So look forward to some of those resources in the days and weeks ahead.
All right, we look forward to hearing it. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of The Weighing Machine. Hey, Case, thanks for being on the show today.
Absolutely. Good to be here.
Rusty, can you take us out with your final thoughts?
I sure can. Stay balanced, stay the course, and be well.
We'll be back soon. Thanks for listening to The Weighing Machine, and thank you for your time and trust in Orion Advisor Solutions.
The Weighing Machine is hosted by Rusty Vanneman, Chief Investment Officer at Orion Advisor Solutions, and me, Robin Murray, freelance writer and editor. If you have feedback or questions about our podcast today, please send us a note at rusty@orion.com.